Say it not with me, but after me. He is God. Two. I want to just welcome the Holy Spirit in this room. We've already welcomed you, but let's welcome the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for keeping your promise. Jesus said, I'm going to ask the Father, and the Holy Spirit will come. And we're so grateful that we can gather in a local church, and the richness of what you want to do in the world is going to be established in our hearts today. Make this biblical, powerful, transformational, make it personal, and make it spirit-filled, these next 30 minutes of Bible study, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Are you ready for the Word of God? Oh, I certainly am. Listen, I want to ask you a question. I want you to go to your network of friends. I mean, I want you to think about the friends, people that you really love and are meaningful to you. And as you think about them, I want you to go through your network of friends, and I want you to see if you can figure this out. Do you have some very meaningful friends that you only have and you only enjoy because another friend or a mutual friend introduced you to them? In other words, the only reason you have friend number two is because of friend number one. And you would hate to be without friend number two, but it would have never happened if you didn't take time to spend quality conversation with friend number one. That is the context of one of the most enriching chapters on the Holy Spirit in the gospel, John chapter 14. And Jesus is saying, I've got credibility with you disciples. And the context of the chapter is, it's near his Last Supper, just a few minutes before he's going to be betrayed and going to be mocked and beaten. And he's talking to his disciples and he said, you trust me. You know me. You don't realize this, but in a few minutes, things are going to start unfolding, and you're going to have some rough times, and then you're going to come back to me after you exit me around the cross. But I want you to know all the credibility that I have, I'm leveraging to introduce you to someone that I have a real good relationship with that you need to experience. Friend number one introduces you to friend number two. That is John chapter 14. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know that the world that you live in, I don't think you'll deny this, is absolutely wondering what is out there in the invisible realm. Have you tried to take your family to a movie lately? It's almost impossible. Somebody say amen to that. What do you want to go watch some movie about some demon-possessed nun? You know, I mean, so many of these movies have this paranormal, demonic, spiritual, because the world is in a quest for what is out there in the invisible realm. It's absolutely where Dunwoody is with a global population here. That's where millennials are. That's where the minds are. What is this unseen reality out there? And in fact, if you'll think about the population of the world, about 7.7 billion people, how many of those people believe that there's more out there than just what you can see with the naked eye? Just about all of them. In fact, if you'll do your research, there's only about half a billion out of the 7.7 billion people on the planet that are acknowledged atheists, that say, we don't believe there's anything invisible, only material and scientifically, empirically investigated matter. That's all there is. There's only about a half a billion people that'll go public and say that, and most of those people are in China. So what if we doubled that and said, okay, there's a billion people that believe that? Or if we tripled it, 1.5 billion, you still got about 6 billion people on the planet plus that you live with, that you go to school with, that you work around, that know and believe there's something real that's invisible, but we don't have any idea what it is. In fact, Jesus was talking about this in his chapter. In John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, and look at this verse. We're really going to get all the meat off the bone of this wonderful barbecue rib called John 14, 16, and 17 today. Can you say, I put the sauce on it, I'm ready. Come on. I mean, put the sauce on it, I am ready today. But notice what verse 17 says. It says, the Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him. Catch that. Because they can't see him, and if they can't see it, they can't believe it, nor do they know him. But you're in a unique situation. Because the invisible reality that's out there that the world has a quest and curiosity for, you can know a whole lot about. Because I'm your friend, and I have credibility. And I'm going to introduce you to another friend, the person of the Holy Spirit, because he is God too. See, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17 talks about the God that we serve. It says, unto the King eternal. I'm so glad to tell you that if you're living for Jesus Christ and you're serving God, hallelujah, you're not going to have to change your position, because the God that you serve is the eternal God. Unto the King eternal, immortal. Death cannot hold him. Did we just sing that? He's immortal. You've got eternal life kicking into you. Unto the God eternal, immortal, he is the God. What? Say it with me. Invisible. Thank you for studying the scripture. He is invisible. He's the only wise God. All other man-made deities are fables, or Paul says they are demonic. The only wise God, and when you learn that the invisible God is wise and eternal and mortal, you know what you do the rest of your life? You give him glory and honor and praise forever. And can I tell you, I know what I'm going to be doing about 10,000 years from now. I know what I'm going to be doing. What are you going to be doing? I know what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be giving him glory and honor and praise forever and ever. Go ahead and put your hands together and say, I'm in with you, Pastor. About a million years, I'm going to be giving him glory and honor and praise. He's eternal. Now, when it comes to this curiosity, say curiosity, of what's going on in the invisible, no one is qualified like a Christian to communicate to their culture invisible realities. And in fact, you're about to learn about the reality of the invisible realm through the words of Jesus. His words are credible because it's backed up by an empty tomb. His words are credible about the invisible realm because his resurrection was witnessed by over 500 eyewitnesses, by signs and wonders. So in a world that's wondering what's out there in the invisible realm, if you'll be a person who's welcoming to the Holy Spirit, you have a mission field. You have a knowing, an understanding. This was made real to me. I was working out at the condo where I was, and this lady who's a guru, heavy-duty instructor in all the realms that intense, you know, there's some entry-level yoga stuff, but and then when you get into the intense stuff, you get into, you know what I'm talking about. And so this lady that is wonderful yoga instructor comes up to me, and she says, you're a man of the Spirit. And it dawned on me, I am a man of the Spirit. And I, as a Christian, know more about the Spirit from a credible source than anybody on the planet. Do the Hindus know more about spirit realities? I got a dear Hindu friend here, and I was talking to her, and I I shared with her Christ, and I said, and we've got this relationship, so I was moving, so I said, I don't know if I'm going to be using these cleaners anymore, and if I do, it's just because I enjoy how well you service my clothes, but I wanted to have a conversation with you before I go, because I'd built up to this. I said, when you believe anything or anyone can be God, you can also believe anything can be God, and nothing is God. So the Hindus aren't in on the know of the invisible realm. The Muslims are not in on the realm, know of the... You as a Christian, if you'll lean in and if you'll develop your understanding of what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, it's like the world is waiting for you to come. We can't see Him. We don't know Him. We don't understand it. But there's a quest. There's a longing. There's a desire to know what is really out there. So are you ready? To really know about the Holy Spirit is to make sure that you don't fall in the trap of what we do many times of referring to the person of the Holy Spirit as an it. And I want to tell you why we do it. It's because as the biblical writers was first releasing the revelation of the Holy Spirit, it's like they would say the Holy Spirit is like a wind. The Holy Spirit is like a fire. And the Holy Spirit is like a river coming up out of your innermost being. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Help me share. A river coming up out of you. The Holy Spirit is like a dove. Now, and because these metaphors were used, river, fire, wind, dove, it's so easy to refer to the Holy Spirit as an it. And that's a problem. Because when we refer to the person of the Holy Spirit as an it, we're missing the personal, relational opportunity that knowing the person of the Holy Spirit affords us. You know, Gayla's at a wedding of our dearest friends today over in Birmingham with Daily, kids that we've raised in our church over there. And I promise you, she's not here today, but if I were to take her out to lunch today and they said, what does this lady like, I would say, well, it wants chicken on its salad. The server would look at me like, what kind of relational problems do y'all have? It doesn't know. And when we don't understand the richness of the personhood of the Holy Spirit, we miss what God has for us in understanding the invisible. Now, to understand the personhood of the Holy Spirit means that you have to pause and take a look at the Trinity. The Trinity is a picture or an understanding of God, of who God is in His personhood. Now, understand that sentence I just shared with you. The Trinity gives us understanding of who God is in His personhood. The word Trinity is not found in the Bible, but pictures of the Trinity are all over the place. And you have a real perk to getting along with your family if you understand the Trinity. And I'm going to share it with you, and it's very, very monumental in your faith. In fact, of the few things that you've got to get from me through the years of me tutoring you spiritually, you got to get this. This is so huge, what I'm about to tell you in a moment. Get ready. But there's several times in the Scripture that God reveals that He is God in three persons. You know it. God the Father, God the Son, and God, say it louder, God the Holy Spirit. Genesis 1:26, we see it in the plural verbs and the plural pronouns. There's a statement that says, let us make man in our image. Who was God talking about? Angels? Which said, hey, angels, let's make man in our image. No. That was one of the first places where the Trinity is revealed in Scripture. And it's revealed all through Scripture at the baptism and different places. And what is so needful for you to know about God exists in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, is this. Hang on your hat. This is important stuff. How many of you want to have a pretty good relationship with your family the rest of your life? How many would like to find a path to improve your relationship? How many of you would like some markers where you know you're going the wrong way with your relationship? So this is what God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one in three persons. That means this: God exists forever in the past, in the present tense, and forever in the future in perfect harmony and relational unity. Now think about that. God has forever, through the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, existed in perfect relationship harmony. Perfect unity. Perfect communication. Do you ever have communication breakdown in your relationships? Come on, act like you live in the same world I live in. Come on, come on. You act like, y'all just put me up here all by myself and just like, you know, I'm just up here. No. Do you ever have agreement breakdown? Communication breakdown? Understanding breakdown? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit has existed forever in perfect relationship. No fusses, no fights, no disagreements, no disunity. And so what happens? The closer you get to God, the closer you get to knowing perfect relational health. Boy, if that doesn't create an amen, the closer God saturates you and you're living with God, the greater the influence of perfect communion and perfect unity and perfect relationship. It's there. And when you start getting away from God, then that gets fuzzy. It gets distorted. But when you walk with God, oh, I'm going to keep saying it again till you get it. To know God is to know the only person on the planet who is always living in perfect relational order. And to know Him and to love Him is to have that pulling on your life and tutoring you and training you. Hallelujah! So the Holy Spirit comes in and Jesus says, I want you to have this perfect relationship order. In fact, there's decorum that you have when you understand and walk with God. Have you, I promise you this, and you're going to learn something from this. Have you ever spent time talking to Father, just talking to God? I dare you to do this. I dare you to do this. This is biblical. It's like you start talking to God the Father, and it won't be long until he'll say this. And it's so appropriate. It's so relational healthy. Oh, thank you. But have you seen my son? You know how awesome my son is? You know how much my son loves you? Do you know what my son did so you can have what you can have? Freedom? Guiltless living? Eternity? Oh, thank you for talking to me, but hey, let me tell you about my son. You know what happens? You start talking to Jesus. You know what will happen if you start talking to Jesus? I love you. Jesus, I just thank you for dying on the cross. You know what Jesus will do? He'll say, thank you. I'm thank you, but have you been introduced to the person of the Holy Spirit? And so you go to the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, I just love you, and I appreciate. And the Holy Spirit says, hey, you know what? I'm not really comfortable talking about myself. I'm really not comfortable all the focus on me. I just want to glorify the Son. I just want you to know, I'm just here to speak of the Son. I don't even talk about myself. I just talk about the Son. All I do is tell you what I hear, the Son of the Father. And then you go back, well, Jesus, the Holy Spirit told me to come back and focus on you. And Jesus says, good, because I want you to glorify the Father. Hallelujah. So what's going on? You have perfect humility. You have people deferring praise. You have an open family. It is relationship perfection. I want to shout it to the world. Knowing God is to know relationship perfection. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, I want to tell you about the person I've spent eternity with. You need to know him. You need to know him well. And so we go to first to John 14, 16, and 17, and I want us to have a Bible study right here. And Jesus says this, I will ask the Father. We're going to go line by line right here, so let's just get the rib out right now, okay? I will ask the Father. So what he's saying this, and he will give you. Jesus saying this, okay, I want to tell you something. I know you're feeling a little awkward right now because I'm about to leave. And you like it the way it is with me tutoring you and walking with you every day. And there's got to be a change. Things are going to be different. But don't sweat it. Because I'm going to ask the Father. And when I ask, the Father pays attention. In other words, this is going to happen. If I ask him, he's going to do what I ask. Because we have this perfect relationship, and he knows I'm never going to ask him anything that's contrary to his heart and his character and his values and his intention. And if I ask, it will happen. Have you ever had a situation where you came to an impasse and a difficulty and you couldn't make it happen? You just couldn't make it happen. It wasn't going to happen. And you just happen to know someone that knew someone. Yeah. And it would have never happened, but you go up to this person that you know that knows somebody, and you says, hey, would you just put in a word for me? And that person looks at you and says, don't worry about it. I take care of it. It is as good as done. And when you look at that line, I will ask the Father and he will give you another comforter. I want you to know Jesus was saying, don't sweat that you've been asked to live in a culture that's so crazy, because I am going to ask the Father and this will happen. It's going to happen. Expect it to happen. Prepare your heart to happen. It's going to dynamically change your life. When I ask the Father, it will happen. Can I stand and testify? I've lived for Jesus radically and wholeheartedly since I was 15, and the promise of the Father through the request of Jesus Christ has happened to the planet Earth. The Holy Spirit has been sent to all hungry hearts. Give him a hand right now. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give. He will give you another. Now, this is an important word. Say the word another. Because they love Jesus. They know Jesus. They've spent time with Jesus. And another is not just like Jesus. Some people are really comfortable meeting new people quickly. Other people, there is a runway before there's a comfort level. Now, after they get on that runway, they become the grandest of friends, but it just takes a runway. So in this little group of 11 that are going to be faithful, there's some that are extroverts. Peter's the extrovert. And there's others that are introverts, and they don't like all this movement in their relational comfort. Once they make friends, they're great friends. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to ask, this is going to happen, I'm going to give you another. And some of those 11 were thinking, I don't like this very much. I don't like this very much. And one of the big deals about you being a Spirit-filled Christian is letting yourself trust Jesus on introducing you to the person of the Holy Spirit that you might not know on the level that you really need to know. I don't want to tell you about the word another. There's a couple of words in the original language about the word another, and this is a big deal. That's why we're stopping on the word another. Say the word another. One word for another, and you'll be familiar with this, is the word heteros. You would know this word because a lot of people on the planet are heterosexual. That means they're not, we won't get into that, that's for another series. But they're different. They have affection for someone that is of a different sex. They are heterosexual. The word another in the original language, there's two of them, is heteros, which means I'm going to give you another helper. I'm going to introduce you to another friend. But if the word heteros would have been used, it would have meant he's different from me. He's not like me. He's other than me. I'm this, he is that, he is another, and we're different. But that's not the word that's used. The word is allos, which means another in the like, exact, same kind and nature. So let me tell you what that means. Big time, if you want to be a leader on the planet on what's out there in the invisible realm. When Jesus said, I am going to give you another comforter, helper, he wasn't saying, I'm going to give you someone else that's different from me. No, he's saying, I'm going to give you my friend, the Holy Spirit, and he is exactly like me. He is just like me. His nature's like mine. His attitude's like mine. His disposition's like mine. His heart's like mine. His thinking's like mine. His world's view like mine. So if you know me, Jesus, you will know the Holy Spirit. You will understand the Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness. You know what that means? That means in a world of mysticism and a world of paranormal curiosity, when people out there really don't know what the invisible realm is like, you, as a Christ follower, really know what the invisible Holy Spirit in the world is all about, because he is just like Jesus. He is just like our Savior and the Lord. The more you study Jesus, the more you learn the heart of the Lord, you learn the invisible qualities and nature of the invisible Holy Spirit that is all over the world. Hallelujah! Goes on to say this, and he will be another advocate. Are y'all enjoying this? Okay, so another. So we know, I'm going to get the same, and he says another advocate. Now what's an advocate? An advocate is a specialist who speaks up for the rights of, or for the privilege of, to celebrate. And the word advocate, Jesus is saying, as I have been an advocate for you in my specialty, relax and welcome the Holy Spirit in your life. Because as I have spoken up for you, he will do just a good job speaking up for you. An advocate is sometimes used as a lawyer. In fact, an advocate is someone who comes in and pleads your case or says, this is why you should have this privilege or right. It's like a court case. And Jesus said, as I've been an advocate, he will be your advocate. Now, I just said that three times, but I want you to get this, and I want to ask you soon. How good has Jesus been at speaking up for you before the Father when you needed some sins forgiven? Has he hit on about 80%? How many times have you said, Father, I'm sorry, I hurt you. I violated your character. I have been so selfish. Please forgive me by the blood of Jesus. That's my plea. Not that I'm righteous in myself, but the blood of Jesus is powerful enough to win my case and receive forgiveness. How many times does the Father says, nah, not today, don't want to, I've already done that a lot, tired of it, No. Look at 1 John chapter 2. It says this, and I will ask the Father. It says, my dear children, I write unto you that you sin not, but if you do have sin in your life, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Folks, I'm having to keep from just shouting all over this platform right now. Because I tell you, Jesus is a great lawyer on your behalf. Jesus is a great spokesperson when you and I fail. Jesus has a perfect trial record. Because every time any one of us or anyone on the planet has ever failed and sinned and come short of the glory of God, anytime, anywhere, at any place, and they've asked Jesus to stand up before the courts of heaven, he has a perfect record of getting them acquitted by his own blood. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Jesus says, as I have been a perfect advocate for you, so the Holy Spirit will be just as perfect in his expertise. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to come and help you. That's right, sis. Go back to John 14, 16, 17. He's going to come and he's going to be a helper to you. Well, Jesus, I don't know about this new helper. I like the way you help. Well, I've got to go away because I'm right here with you, 11, 12, but that guy's on, he's going to get out here tonight, so I'm going to not even count him. But there are some people over in a few centuries from now in Atlanta, Georgia, that if I don't go away, I can't be with them and be with you at the same time. In fact, the kingdom of God is so much bigger than us 11. I've got to go to the Father. I've got to stand up as the lawyer for all sin. And I have got to tell the Father, Father, all humanity's needs what I brought to those 11. And Jesus said, I'm going to go and I'm going to send another helper. And as I have helped you, the Holy Spirit will come and help you day by day, week by week with all that you're dealing with. And the Holy Spirit will come and be your helper. Now there's a little bit of more meat on this bone before you move on down the road. But the word helper in this text, look up there and find the word helper. Help, everybody say help. Are you so arrogant that you can do life without the help of the Holy Spirit? Well, if you feel that way, that's an arrogancy that is not a part of the triune Godhead. That's a picture of humility. You don't think God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit are humble? Scripture says in Philippians, Jesus emptied himself so he could be your Savior. But the word help, I need help. How many of you think you got what it takes to get through this week? Look at me. I know I do not. I know I don't. If it were not for the help of the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to bow my shoulders. I'm going to hold my head up high. I'm going to walk into a pagan culture and proclaim Jesus is Lord because I'm not walking through this week by myself. I'm not walking to Monday all alone. I got a helper coming to walk with me and be an advocate, and he's there to do some things for me. The word help is parakaleos. Parakaleos. It means alongside, parallel. Kaleos, called. The help means to call to. Jesus said, I am sending you an advocate, and he's going to help you by coming to you. And he is going to speak to you what I have to say. And he's going to speak to you the intent of the Father. And he's going to speak to you how you need to move through life's issues. He is called to you. He is to, the word parakaleos means to summon, to call to. And it means to summon a witness. that has the eyewitness testimony that's going to get your case won for you. Oh, wow. It means to summon a general when the troops are beat up and when the soldiers are bloody and when they don't know if they can make another assault. The general comes down from the hill and he gets there with them and says, guys, you are made out of the right stuff. We've got the right plan. Let's keep coming. And when Jesus says there's some help coming to you, he's saying, general, the Holy Ghost is coming right down to the pit of where you live. And when he gets in you, you're going to get help like you've never had before. It's not going to be some personal motivational guru. It's going to be the divine God of heaven getting in you. Hallelujah. How many believe Atlanta needs a Spirit-filled church? The word help is translated comforter, and he does help us when we are hurting, but it's a lot more rugged than that. The word parakleos means he's summoned to us, and I'm going to turn some adjectives into a verb. To fort us. To fort us. To build a fort in us. It means to brave us. Sometimes we need the Holy Spirit just to comfort us. Love us. And let us know the Lord loves us. But we got a generation that's clueless about invisible reality. And here we are as God's people with the credibility of Jesus telling us what the invisible person of the Holy Spirit is like. And when the Holy Spirit comes to help you, you know what he's doing? He's coming to build a fortress in you. I want you to think about what the Holy Spirit has done in your life through your years. If you've really been obedient to the Holy Spirit and trying to make an effort, has the Holy Spirit not built an arsenal of weapons in you against the works of the devil? Worshiping. Holy Spirit wants you to worship. Loving the Word, loving God's people, getting in small groups, turning from sin. The Holy Spirit builds. He comes and he forges. So you're not this little weak, need Christian walking through a culture having no clue what's going on in the earth, just hoping you survive till you die and hope you go with the luck of the Lord there really is a heaven. That is not what the Holy Spirit comes into your life to do. He comes in to do this. I'm going to build my fort inside of you, and I'm going to do a work for my glory and for my honor that the very hordes of hell cannot prevail against, and I'm going to build it day by day. And I'm going to make you brave. I'm going to make you so brave. I'm going to brave you. Listen to me, young people. I'm going to make you brave. You're not worried about what your peers say about you. You're not worried about if people applaud, think, oh, you're really, you do not, you, there's something so much bigger and better and grander going on in you than all that peripheral chatter out there. You've been braved by the Holy Spirit. You've had this fortress. And you know what you know? You know what the invisible world is like. The Holy Spirit of God, unseen, is there, waiting for you to demonstrate to the world what is in the invisible realm. And as a Christ follower, you know. You really do. Because your friend Jesus introduced you to the invisible person, the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus introduced you, he said, I want you to meet my friend, the Holy Spirit. He's God too. And he is just like me. But you can have him in your life, everywhere you go. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. We didn't get to verse 17. But I want to tell you, there's a lot of richness in Holy Spirit training and teaching. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes here, in another chapter, chapter 16, this is what he's going to do. He's going to explain and teach the world about righteousness and sin. He's going to teach the world about righteousness and sin. A couple of things that the contemporary church really doesn't do a very good job of. But the Holy Spirit's going to say, you really don't want things in your life that hurt God. You don't. Because the Holy Spirit will say, I dwell with the Father in perfect relational harmony, and He is so loving. He is so futuristic. He is so perfect in His love for you. I promise you, you do not want to do anything that hurts Him. That's sin. With heads bowed, eyes closed, looking around, because it's so easy to wander away from God. You're here and you say, Pastor Danny, there's some junk in my life. There's some sin, and I want Jesus to forgive me. I want the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is touching me right now, and He's saying, ask forgiveness for this. If you're here and you've been away from God, or maybe you've never met Christ as Lord and Savior, maybe you prayed a prayer a long time ago, but you're a long way from it, and you want Jesus to forgive you, and you want to welcome Jesus and His cleansing power into your life, and you feel the Holy Spirit saying, you need to let go of this pride, you need to surrender. I'm going to count to three, and I want you to humble yourself, raise your hand toward heaven, and then we'll pray. Would you do that? One, two, three. Raise your hand right now. Thank you. Just keep them up for a moment. This is a powerful moment. This is a Holy Spirit moment. It's a Holy Spirit moment. Would everybody pray this prayer with me? Everyone. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your Son, Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you for pointing us to Jesus. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I want to be a friend of your friend, the person of the Holy Spirit. Can we do this? It's 11:08, and is the praise team here? Is Taylor around at all? His wife was in an accident, and if I was him, I would have run home after worship to go take of her. She's wonderful, and we need to pray for Lindsay. I'm just so proud that he came and led us in worship today. But I want us to do something. This is a building month of the series of the Holy Spirit. This was just foundational. In my mind, this is a world conference on the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you, you got to hear about half what I had to say today. And we'll move on. But I want every one of you right now that you want this month to be one of your greatest months of growing in relationship with the Holy Spirit. You don't have to raise your hand to heaven, but would you just turn your palms toward heaven right now? Father, I want to pray over you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the word and the worship and the fellowship and the prayer that we've had here today. But I pray on this first message on the Holy Spirit that it will grow, it will mature, and this will be one of the most powerful moves of the Holy Spirit on planet Earth. Atlanta needs more Spirit-filled churches and need more Spirit-filled men and women. And here I am, Lord, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. Go ahead and put your hands together and give the Lord a hand for what He's done in these lives. Hallelujah.